One thing that happened this week when it comes to health care is that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell actually acknowledged for the first time that the plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act may not work, and they may need to pursue the idea of bolstering the current exchange system. Dr. Mark Fendrick is with us. He's the director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. He really understands this better than most Americans, I'd say. Dr. Fendrick, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me back, Michael.
Yeah. Well, first of all, when you hear the notion that, look, the Affordable Care Act is really falling apart, deductibles are skyrocketing, insurance companies are leaving the exchanges, it's not working. Do you agree with that concept?
Well, I think that it's complicated. The GAO came out with a report this week that stated that these exchanges or individual marketplaces are in a much better situation than many people thought. And secondarily, that a lot of the worry about these exchanges moving forward has to do with the uncertainty about what might happen with healthcare reform.
Okay, but in terms of the insurance companies and the offers, what was being offered on the exchanges, are we seeing now a depletion of those options right now?
We are, but I think, again, when you're hearing about these premium increases, a lot more of the panic has to do with the uncertainty than it has to do with the stability of the marketplace. Mm-hmm. For instance, the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation estimated that premiums would be about 20% lower if the federal government would just go forward and say they were going to guarantee the cost-sharing subsidies, which were the federal subsidies that would go to patients and consumers to lower their premiums and deductibles. And given that we really haven't heard whether this is going to happen or not, has really added some confusion to the marketplace.
One of the criticisms of the ACA and also the American Health Care Act is that neither of them address costs. They don't encourage competition across state lines. They don't really encourage transparency. Do you think they both fall short on that, on these issues?
I do. I think that there are ways that we would consider how to reform the healthcare system. I think the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare focused much more on getting Americans coverage than it did on cost reductions. Mm-hmm. I think the AHCA and the ECRA, the Republicans' alternatives, focusing a little bit too much on lowering healthcare cost spending and not taking into account that many Americans would lose their coverage and likely be better off in terms of their health.
Okay, but I mean, is that responsible though with the ACA, which is the law now, to basically say, hey, look, we're not going to really address the cost issue. We're just going to put this money out there. I mean, doesn't that lead to trouble?
Yeah, I wish it were that simple. I think, as you have reported many times, Michael, there are a lot of very interesting experiments now, particularly around the ideas of alternative payment models, getting away from fee-for-service to some more quality-based payments, and what we're seeing on the consumer side with ideas like value-based insurance design. We are making a shift away purely from looking at how much we're spending and hopefully focusing more on what we're getting for our healthcare dollar.
Okay, but are these more just small experimental things that are happening? I mean, does this really change the larger paradigm right now?
I think most of the things that I've seen in healthcare, studying at least since 1965 and the advent of Medicare, most of the changes in American healthcare have been baby steps with few big levers thrown in there, most notably Medicare and the Affordable Care Act in 2010. But I do believe that we are making a move from volume to value, both on the payment side and with value-based insurance design, trying to make American consumers more accountable and aware of what they're getting in terms of their expenses that they're spending on insurance.
So, I mean, why is this such a slow progression? If it's clear to us where we're wasting money and where we could be more efficient, why aren't we just doing it?
Well, I think there's two points. One is been pointed out many times. Healthcare in America is the world's largest industry, one-sixth of our multi-trillion dollar economy. So there are lots of stakeholders have best interests in mind. But I do think that if you believe many estimates that up to 30% of our $3-plus trillion in healthcare are spent on services that don't make Americans any healthier, that gives us a very big buffer, in my opinion, to take money out of the system where it shouldn't be spent and hopefully invest more where it should be spent, and that's the basic premise of value-based insurance design.
Okay, but are we actually, do you see anything right now that leads you to believe we're going to seriously address that and address all that waste?
I do. I think that, like many things driven by the private sector, there are a number of stakeholders who are understanding that it's a difficult process because clinical services might be a very high value to one patient and very low value to another. But I'm very happy to say that the medical professional community has got behind an idea called Choosing Wisely to bring attention to the services that we're probably overusing. And as we remove monies from spending on those, hopefully we'll spend it more on those high-value services.
But it's not even the services, it's the cost, right? Because you've got these deals between the insurance companies and the healthcare providers, the hospitals and so on, right? They make these deals with these astronomical costs. How do we deal with that?
Well, prices are really tricky. All I would say in terms of these incremental changes that you asked about is that I would first go after that $500 billion in services that I wouldn't buy even if they were free. And that will give us a fair bit of time to really start to better understand this idea of value-based pricing and outcomes-based pricing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've heard that there are some health systems that offer money-back guarantees if things don't go well. Many of our health systems around the country are now rated on quality, not just the prices at which they charge. And I do strongly feel that we've made incremental steps away from a pure volume-based maximized revenue system. Mm-hmm. The one that hopefully will have the best interest in the health of Americans at first line.
Dr. Mark Fendrick with us on WILS here. What do you make of what's about to happen here, whether we repeal the Affordable Care Act or whether we don't? Where do you think we stand on the issue now?
Well, where you led in this section is I think that we have to be prepared if the Republican bills do not go through to prop up this individual marketplace. And I think there are at least three ways that we need to do this in a nonpartisan, I won't say a bipartisan way. First is we need to remove this uncertainty regarding the ACA subsidies that reduce enrollees' cost sharing, and that will stabilize the marketplace. Second is we need to make sure there's enough money to reimburse insurers for high-cost enrollees. This is a term called reinsurance, and you may have talked about the successes, for instance, in Alaska and Maine, where this has worked quite well. Okay. And I think the third, which ties to value-based insurance design, is to encourage novel consumer-directed health plans that cover more generously the services that we need, but to your point on waste, require very high out-of-pocket costs on unnecessary or low-value services. And I think this would encourage insurers to enter markets where there is single or no insurer, in the fact that we can keep premiums down, in the fact that we don't have to provide as generous coverage for the services that we shouldn't be buying in the first place.
Okay, I'm trying to make sense of what you just said. So you said that we need to make it so some of these services that are not necessary, that they're higher out-of-pocket costs for consumers, is that it?
Right, the basic premise of value-based insurance design is for the services that I beg my patients to do, Michael, the things that we know will improve health should not have a high out-of-pocket cost. And I do believe that patients should pay significant proportions, if not the full price of services that they don't need.
Like what? Give me an example of what that would be then.
There's a long list of antibiotics for a common cold, mm-hmm. Whether it be a branded drug for which a drug there is a generic equivalent, or get an EKG every time a healthy person walks in to the doctor's office because the doctor or the patient finds it to be reassuring.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but isn't it usually the doctors that are putting these up because they want to avoid a lawsuit? Or
I don't think it's malpractice reform as much as the way we physicians are trained in the United States. Yeah. Remember, the fee-for-service model is extremely unusual and almost unique in the fact that I want you to think of another industry that a person is paid full price for a service whether the person needs it or not, or whether it helps the consumer or not. And that's why it's been bipartisan and multi-stakeholder, largely driven by the purchaser community, to get away from these fee-for-service models, but instead start buying our health care the way we buy everything else on what the outcomes are. And in this case, we should pay for a lot for quality of health care because it's very important. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't pay for something, even if it's whiz-bang and fancy, if it doesn't make Americans any healthier.
Okay. I guess the difficult part would be to determine what qualifies as what in terms of procedures, right? I mean, that's probably
right. Well, thankfully, this is where a lot of health services research is going. We are working with a very large multi-stakeholder task force around the country to help identify those low-value services and, most importantly, put levers in place to try to reduce their use and then use those dollars saved on services that are underused, like screenings or medications for the uses of chronic diseases that we know certainly make people better off.
It's Dr. Mark Fendrick, director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. And we're just scratching the surface here, as usual. Dr. Fendrick, thank you very much for joining us.
It is my pleasure. Yeah. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, very complicated and complex topic, but Dr. Fendrick certainly understands it.